We don't generally talk about the holiday season starting off during October, but don't we begin getting our plans together just around Halloween? Once temperatures drop into the double digits here in the great American Southwest, we start thinking autumn, the precursor to the holidays. Halloween leads into Veterans Day, which is just a couple of weeks before Thanksgiving, then Hanukkah, Christmas, and New Year's. If you've been to the supermarket lately, you've been able to buy tons of bright orange pumpkins. A friend was complaining about all those pumpkins arriving so early, but there's a reason for that, and it has to do with farmers trying to make a living. The fruits are harvested mid to late September, but anyone who grows pumpkins commercially has only a very brief time to sell them. After October 31st, most of those pumpkins become compost, so farmers and retailers have to move them before that drop-dead date. I don't find that a problem. This is not excusing all the Christmas decorations that appear around Labor Day. That's just wrong. Believe it or not, Americans spend more money celebrating Halloween than any other feast except Christmas. In my neighborhood, there are many kids, which means families go all out on decorations. There are tombstones and cobwebs and broomsticks and more. But if you'd rather have something out of the ordinary, how about a truly devilish Halloween garden? This is really the only time we can put celebratory devils around our homes, so go for it. A lot of plants have demonic connections, even in their names. A surprising number of devil-named plants grow well here in our part of heaven. One of our native plants produces an interesting fruit known as devil's claw. When you see the black ornamentation in Native American basketry, that's often what you're looking at. The flowers are a lovely pink that I'm certain hummingbirds would love. You can expect confusion with common names, and sure enough, there's another devil's claw. This one from Africa has a terribly scary-looking dry fruit. It's a distant cousin to the American devil's claw. We could probably grow this one just as easily as our native. They're both cousins to the mints and lavender. Devil's backbone is a euphorbia, same family as gopher plant, poinsettia, spurge, and many others. If you look up this name, you'll find several different plants called devil's backbone. Some produce hundreds of tiny plants along the leaves, but others have perfectly smooth leaves. Should you decide that you want nobody to come anywhere near your landscape during the Halloween season or any other time, you might try growing devil's choya. The name says it all. This is a cactus thickly covered in sharp spines. Devil's trumpet grows wild in disturbed lands all around under the least hospitable conditions. With its big leaves and fabulous huge white flowers, Datura hardly looks like a desert plant at all. So many domestic plants insist on conditions that are just so. Devil's trumpet seems to be the opposite. I've known good horticulturists who've had no success growing devil's trumpet from seed, and others who've grown it for years. Well, what can you expect from a plant whose other common name is angel's trumpet? Your Halloween landscape could be a horticultural delight. Your pumpkins decorated with demons holding Dominican devil's tongue, a searingly hot pepper, the wildly spiny devil's choya, and a Datura shrub with great white flowers. With the addition of some dramatic-looking devil's claws and pothos, a.k.a. devil's ivy, in the window, it'll be attractive and completely different from all your neighbors. For KNPR's Desert Bloom, this is Dr. Angela O'Callaghan of the University of Nevada Cooperative Extension.